Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Ben Affleck is out as director of The Batman just maybe a month after saying he would direct The Batman. Black Manta is cast. Nicole Kidman might be an Aquaman and so much more right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC movie news.
Let those who worship evil's might beware. Green Lantern's light.
We need this right now.
My ring's a little limp.
The universe, the entire universe.
My lantern's a little low.
The entire universe is...
And...
Teen Titans!
Yeah. Welcome everybody to the DC Movie News Show right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Boy, every single week, just so much going on. And it's confusing, and it can be frustrating, it can be fun. Nonetheless, it's going to be fun to talk about. So let's get into it. We're at DC Movies SK on Twitter, Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Johnny LaQuasto here at J Quasto. The lovely lady. Starting it over! The lovely lady next to me, she is a DC encyclopedia as well as comic encyclopedia. She has some of the greatest outfits that you'll ever see. And you can find her on Twitter at Elena K. Jordan. She's Elena K. Jordan.
Hello, everybody. Actually, it's just Elena Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, is it just Elena
What's
Jordan?
What's a K?
I thought there was a K in the Twitter.
Nah, there's no K.
It's just at Elena Jordan.
Is your middle name with a K or something?
No, it's a J.
I'm
oh,
a J
that's
also.
What it was. Sorry, I'm not going to say your email, but that had the
JK.
Got me
JK.
Confused.
Boom.
Got me confused. That man right there wearing the sweet GNR Justice League t-shirt. He's the host of Man vs. Child on the FYI Network and FX Movie Download. And he's the verse mocker at Doghouse Restaurants. Make it loud for Adam Gertler. He's Adam Gertler.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of Support Group for fans going through life struggles in a new presidential era with director feedback and difficult times.
Mm. Indeed.
You think there's a correlation between those two things?
I don't know, man. I think the world works in mysterious ways, you know? I think it all plays into it. Mm. It all plays into it. Hey, guys. Good to be here.
And next to him is the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show and the host of TV Fights on Screen Junkies. And she feels the positivity. There's going to be some positivity in all this. You can find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer, because she's Roxy Stryer.
I didn't know I was supposed to be the positive person.
Yep, you're
right. To be honest, I prepared incorrectly for the show.
Oh, boy.
But now,
I don't know.
Let me put on my positive shoes. Wait, changing them under the table. Yeah, here I am.
Elena Soup's positive, usually. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Soup's positive. And you too,
there's
Johnny. In fact, we might have different sides of the screen right here, it feels
yes.
like.
I mean,
yes.
I'm generally positive. I've just been
Team
saying
optimism.
For a long time that Warner Brothers is kind of shitty. But other than
yeah.
that...
Yeah,
I mean,
we have to seriously break this down today because
okay.
I need some positivity in my life about this. I need
break
to feel
it down without
understand.
Breaking down.
Everybody,
yes.
join in chat roll, get involved.
Yep.
I'm so curious as to hear what the fans are really, really thinking. What is really going on in your minds? There's so much to process. There's so much that we know, don't know, speculate upon, and. It you know, if you're a fan, you have to be feeling a lot of things.
Your
I mean,
feelings,
you gotta
feelings.
Be feeling. You gotta have an opinion,
yes.
right?
Yeah. Yes.
You can't just be like, oh, what?
Feeling.
What does everybody make? What?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, stuff be going on.
This is a week for all. Yeah. For all to feel.
It certainly is. And so, obviously, the story we're talking about is, you know, Jimmy Kimmel Live not too long ago, Ben Affleck announced, I'm going to direct The Batman. And now he is not directing The Batman.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So, leading up to this, for anybody who has missed this big debacle, people have been saying, Ben, when is the script coming? When is the script coming? When are we doing this movie? When is it coming out? When is The Batman? And he's said... I'm doing it, and flipped out, and finally on Kimmel, he said, guys, listen, I am making this movie, I am directing this movie, give me my time, nobody questioned me on Live by Night, I can't take any more questions on this, I'm doing it.
Yep.
And then we talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
And Adam said, you know, this sounds like they're all a united front. Warner Brothers seems to be with them on this. This will be the last we're hearing about this. We all had our opinions.
I disagreed.
Fast forward a couple of weeks, and now it has come out.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That Ben Affleck will no longer be directing the Batman.
No.
He will still be, as of today, as of Thursday, February 2nd, Ben Affleck will still be starring in the movie. He will still be writing the movie.
That, however,
kind of.
They
we'll talk more. Well, he already wrote a draft, so he'll be partial writer of the movie, and he will be producing the movie. So that is what he is doing on this film as of February 2nd, 2017.
Yes.
Well, now everybody's up to speed.
Very, very well.
No, it was a good summation of the state of affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you should know that if you're listening and watching DC movie news.
Yes, but if you, for anybody who is confused, because if you're reading different articles at different times, you don't know at this date.
I think they just announced it 3 days ago.
Well, yeah, listen, I will say, let me just say that I tried to start the new year in a really positive way. If you saw the show, I felt that there was a lot of change in the narrative. It felt like Warner Brothers, Ben, were kind of starting to say the same thing. Then we were hearing casting, we were hearing production. I'm like, all right, this is the new way. And then what we speculated on actually a while ago, like we were pretty early to even suspect, like it's weird that Ben Affleck and the studio are saying different things. It's just weird that that's both public. And that's where we started talking about before any of us heard any rumors that he was actually leaving. I mean,
well, you predicted that he was not going to be involved in the project at all, or that he was not acting in it or something. And everybody was like, there's no way, of course he's staying on this. And now it seems that part of what you predicted is kind of coming true.
Yeah. There's a lot of, yeah.
I feel like there was just a lot of contention even when he was announcing on Kimmel. Like, it seemed very much like there was hostility, which I know we were divided on when it came out.
He seemed burned out, don't you
think? It did, but that's the thing, is I feel like this, again, team positivity, this could be a good thing, because if he's acknowledging up front, I bit off more than I can chew, I'd rather him do that now mm-hmm. than when he's on set and then everything fall to crap. Like, I would much rather them say, I still want to be a part of this project. It's up to me to make sure that this comes to life in a way that is going to work.
Well,
so
yes.
Bring in help. If you need help, I don't think that there's anything wrong. I don't think there's any sort of, you know, negativity in bringing in help. If you need it, make a good movie. Do what you got
to
do.
My first question to you guys, though, and this is not me putting any sort of horses in this race, because I don't know the answer.
Mm-hmm. We all love horses, though.
Yes, mm-hmm. horses are good.
Yeah.
My first question would be, was this 100% Ben Affleck's decision?
I'm going to say that I think it was.
Okay.
And here's what I would like to present on, like, the Ben Affleck side of things. I think the guy's obviously been through a lot. He's been playing Batman in some capacity since 2014. It's been contentious. It's been making a lot of headlines. You know, he's had, like, personal turmoils, right, with his, like,
marital
home relationship, marital. He just put out a movie that apparently, if people are to be believed, lost a lot of money for the studio, wasn't well-liked or reviewed. This is a guy who's been through the ringer time and time again throughout his career. Was never sounding enthusiastic or passionate about directing the movie. It was like a fait accompli. People started rumoring it from when he was announced for Batman v Superman. They're like, eventually we're going to get this movie. But it never sounded like he was passionate about it. And then we hear that he's writing it with Geoff Johns. We heard previous interviews where he talks about Geoff Johns as his, like, DC man, DC brother. But now and then we're hearing, like, there was rewrites of the script. And, you know, his whole thing was like, I'll direct it when the script's right. So you have to wonder if this announcement is sort of broadly covering up the fact that nobody was ever happy with the script. What happened with that script if it was supposed to be Ben Affleck and Geoff Johns, and then we just hear
Chris Terrio
did the last draft, which I believe means that Ben Affleck asked for that from Chris Terrio, who's been brought on
for Argo
yeah. and Justice League and Batman
v
Superman.
He won awards for, or, like, tons of awards for Argo.
Right.
And Batman versus Superman, say what you will, I think that was out of his hands. Like, I think that was just kind of...
Okay.
It goes back to what you and I have both been saying. Warner Brothers keeps putting their hands on stuff where...
Yeah.
Look, are any of them more knowledgeable than, say,
Ben Affleck, Zack Snyder. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they are, but I think Snyder just
but
got
there's
sick
no czar in there. Even right, if there are, there right. are no, they have no czar for DC.
I think he got sick and tired of dealing with Warner Brothers, and he was like, you know what?
So, Johnny, you are in the camp that you think that Ben Affleck said, hey, guys, I can't do this. I'm sorry. I can't direct this film. Or do you think Warner Brothers presented to Ben Affleck, hey, we know there's a lot of stress and pressure on you. What if we took one of these things off of your plate?
No, I think it was more him. Why would they not want him to?
But, I mean, honestly, when you say that, that sounds very reasonable. I mean, everybody wants to make this movie happen. Warner Brothers has all the stake. They're the ones footing the bill. And, yeah, it's possible that maybe they were like, you know what? Having Ben direct this isn't going to guarantee a success. He just did his passion project movie. It wasn't an out of the park home run. What I don't know is if he even does have an existing contract to act in the next movie. What I heard was that he was contracted for Justice League and not necessarily beyond that at the
time.
Well,
he said point blank that he's still going to act in it, even when he made his announcement. Well,
but he also said point blank that he was going to direct it.
But I mean, even when he said he's not going to direct anymore, he said he's still going to act. So he's still going to be a part of it.
That's the next thing we should address, because along with these rumors, I'm sure a lot of people have also heard the rumors that he might not be directing it, and what's his face, Armie Hammer might be sliding in to be the Batman. That's gained some traction this week. People are speculating as to that,
of course, but that's
so
not...
I don't know. Do you guys think that there's any fire there?
I do believe that he will be performing in this film, but I also believe that he has, for the most part, wiped his hand clean of the script. I think he's called in his buddy Chris Terrio. Mm-hmm. I think Chris Terrio and Jeff Johns have made a second draft. I think Ben Affleck is saying...
Well, they never mentioned Jeff Johns involved in that second draft.
They did. Yes, they did.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so, Chris Terrio wrote it with Jeff Johns.
Yes. So I think that he said, guys, here's what I could do. Something doesn't seem right. I need your help. They're going to help him with the writing. In terms of the directing, it's going to go to somebody else. And he's going to really focus on his performance because, honestly, of the last couple of movies he's been in, or especially of, that's the one thing that nobody's complaining about is him as an actor. Right. And anything he's in, nobody's like, oh, this guy can't act. That's not been what's been recently. He needs a win.
Yeah, I think he took a little blow to his ego with Live by Night, and I think that this was kind of I almost feel like it was a frustration thing, because all of his public announcements, you could feel like a little bit of hostility. So it's like, if you have that in your public, I mean, they were all very well rehearsed and very well spoken. But that being said, if you're already seeing that frustration, then you can imagine in these meetings that he's just like, all right, fine, then just get somebody else to direct it. And I'm going, okay. And then just being kind of it. Yeah. And then now, it being like, okay, well then...
Well, listen, if you take the PR line that came out at face value, it sounds great. The only reason it doesn't sound great is because of the 2-year tumultuous history we've had. Warner Brothers, you say, like, if you've told me Ben Affleck was signed on to be Batman, if this was like 2 years ago, and this statement came out 2 years ago, and they were like, Ben is not going to direct it, he's producing it, he's part of the writing team, but you can't with the suit and everything, you want a physical director. Like, at the time, I would even say, like, Zack Snyder should direct this. This is what we were talking about on the show. We were saying, like, this is where you want Zack Snyder to make everything look pretty as long as there is a beautiful map. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, I feel like a victim of Stockholm Syndrome, where this week, when, you know, you're thinking about who should direct Batman, I'm like, you know what? Just let Zack do it. Like, yeah, Zack and Ben, like, they're done to charm. I'm like, it kind of makes sense. Because, like, you know, it looked good in Batman v Superman. It was just like,
this is my thing, though, because I actually hear you with that. But what about David Fincher? Like, they have the camaraderie with Snyder. But this is the thing, is because Ben Affleck has said in many interviews, he watches Seven several times before every movie he directs because he's so inspired by him. They started a music video production company in the 90s, Zack Snyder and
Fincher
together. So, you know, they already have, like, a good working relationship. So,
Elena Jordan, a David Fincher directed The Batman, gives me an actual physical erection, but I just don't think that he would touch that with a 10-foot pole.
We're not
going to
show that on camera.
I don't think. It's under the table.
Tables, yes.
Okay,
I wish Ben Affleck was directing this still, because I know he feels like there's a lot on his plate, and no matter how this decision was made, I think he's a very strong director, and I feel like he had a great grasp on this character. He was working on the script, he was doing all these things, and I kind of feel bad because it's almost like we, the fans, we, the press, we, the people, a little bit bullied him out of it. We just kept asking and kept asking and kept poking and prodding. We were like, where? And finally he was like, okay, I won't do it then. And I really think he was the best person for the project. Now that he is not doing it, I think there are other great people for it. Do I kind of feel like you do, Adam? A little bit like, okay, Snyder, just take it. Just take it. Like,
and don't forget, he's still you know, doing Justice League. Yeah. And let's not panic. I mean, bottom line is we got Justice League and Wonder Woman. Between those two films, I think it's going to be a much better year than 2016.
But yes, but Johnny, you also have to ask, if there's this much problems with the Batman, does that really reflect the real experience and possible product that are Wonder Woman and Justice League? Mm-hmm. You have to ask these questions, because if people were overwhelmingly confident that, look, they've seen these films, they know now how these films are going to be received, pretty much. You know, if there was that much enthusiasm and things were that great, I don't know that we would have these kinds of issues. If they are issues, look, maybe it is face value and it's just like, listen, Warner Brothers, like, we got our timeline. Ben, you're right. Listen, let's just bring in someone, Matt Reeves, any of those people that they've been talking about. Like, sure.
Yes.
But you really have to wonder, is the other side of it is Ben Affleck saying, like, listen, I'm not going to put my director name on this.
That, I feel, is something that is worrisome, because that could definitely be, because it all goes back to script. So if it is a problem all the way down to the script, because that was a big problem with Batman versus Superman, was that it just felt like a bunch of scripts shoved together.
Do we want to hear the quote that Affleck said?
Sure.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Sure, let's listen to that quote.
There are certain characters who hold a special place in the hearts of millions. Performing this role demands focus, passion, and the very best performance I can give. It's become clear that I cannot do both jobs to the level they require. Together with the studio, I've decided to find a partner and a director who will collaborate with me on this massive film. I am still in this. We are making it, but we are currently looking for a director. I remain extremely committed to this project and look forward to bringing this to life for fans around the world. So, yeah,
one of the big names that keeps coming up is Gavin O'Connor, who, of course, just did The Accountant with him and also did Warrior. So he's got the fighting skills. He's got the action kind of movie skills. He's worked with Ben Affleck before. And I think David Fincher would be a great choice, but I also think that Gavin would be a very good choice.
But what about... Gavin would be a good choice too, but what about Del Toro? You know, they've all worked together, so
listen,
it's like
they're brilliant directors out there.
Del Toro.
Like nobody's throwing that name into the mix.
And
I think if you can't get Fincher, they all like.
It's interesting, but didn't he just kind of exit? Together. He was involved for a while in the Justice League Dark project and kind of walked on from that. So I don't know.
I could see maybe
that was
being
messy too.
Yeah. Look at how many directors have walked away from this. Like, for some reason, they have not created it. That's why I say
Michelle
David Fincher is such a long shot.
Because of all the pushback now from fans with Ben Affleck stepping out and everybody kind of losing their shit over it a little bit, I think hopefully this will... I'm with you. I'm with the studio is dicking everything up by trying to mess with everything.
Yeah.
So I think maybe... hopefully that they'll take this as a cue to say, okay, let's let them form a team. If we don't trust one person to do everything, we can trust this team and then maybe step back a little bit and let them work together and stop trying to have executives say, you know, it'd be cool. Yeah, I mean, I had a Batman toy when I was a kid, so I know things.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up. Just let them... Yeah.
It's got to be dark and gritty.
That's how I feel. It's just like it's a bunch of like old dudes sitting up in an office being like, we know things. It's like, just take a step back. Work on marketing.
When you
work
say
on like the packaging.
Team. You mean like a Suicide Squad?
No, like...
Sorry, that's my...
No, not awful.
I know.
Listen, I do have to contend one thing that you brought up. I don't see anywhere that the Terrio script was co-authored with Johns. See, I still propose that Jeff Johns was kind of squeezed out of this, which makes me wonder about his whole actual position in the thing, too. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Let us know in the chat, because I read that somewhere,
but I thought so, too.
I'm not confident in that.
First script was Affleck and Johns, and then the rewrite was Terrio, which leads me to believe that it was...
According to Deadline, Chris Terrio, who wrote Batman vs. Superman and Justice League, just turned in a rewrite with Ben Affleck's script for Batman, which he co-wrote with DC's Jeff Johns.
Yes.
So they're saying so...
So Batman. But that... Oh, so it's just...
We're
just misreading that.
We're misreading it. Yes. So it's saying that Jeff Johns... with Ben Affleck wrote the script.
Yes.
And now Chris Terrio said, throw that in the trash.
Strangely
here's a new
phrased.
One.
Exactly.
But yes.
So that means that Jeff Johns is squeezed out of that equation. We know that Jeff Johns was tweeting at the beginning of the year, had no mention of the Batman movie. He was tweeting about Wonder Woman movie, nothing like this. Stuff is stinking in Denmark right now. I'm telling you, like, look at all the signs. Like, Geoff Johns has not been a vocal person since announces his thing. Like, his name has been thrown in all these things, but he's certainly not the mouthpiece. Listen, I'm going to repeat something now that has been said ad nauseum, and fast forward if you don't want to hear it again. But Marvel Studios was started like a small independent business. They basically got a loan. They started making the films with the few characters that they had that they thought were bankable. They started to make a product as a small, independent studio. Once that product became profitable, a larger company acquired it and said, you know how to make that product? We're going to give you all the access and expand that product.
Yeah, it's like a small business.
Warner Brothers is trying to reverse engineer that from the outside in. There's nobody there that had the idea for that product. They don't have the czar, the soul, the spirit that has all these things that Kevin Feige has. Although, coincidentally, Kevin Feige and Geoff Johns were both early in the employ of Donner, Dick Donner. They were like, you know, like volunteer assistants. What is that called when you're unpaid employee?
Interns.
They both interned for Dick Donner in the early days of the Warner Brothers DC Cinematic Universe.
An easier way to put it, it's like, okay, so microbreweries are popular all throughout the country. And what a lot of the major corporations, like whether it's Budweiser or Heineken, they're taking small breweries and say, hey, you know what you do? Keep doing it, only we're going to put your stuff in way more stores across the country. And that's kind of how Marvel built it, whereas like WB came in and was like, wait, and whether or not they want to admit it, they're like, we got to play catch up. And they've been trying to do that
and so
real hard.
They're going to have to find another way to do it because the characters are bigger than them. The characters aren't going to go away, but so far it's a lot of swings and a lot of misses right now for a lot of people. I know there are a lot of people that are going to be offended by that and loved everything that's come so far.
Sure.
But there's also a lot of people you have to acknowledge that don't feel that way and really, like, want to. Like, people don't want DC movies to be, like, the whipping boy of the thing.
And that's going to happen regardless because critics are critics. And look, we're going to see everything. We're going to try to enjoy everything. I mean, but, you know, we just also have to call it how we see it as well.
Yeah.
So
right now, the best thing that could happen would be Wonder Woman just being freaking amazing.
Yeah. If Wonder Woman was amazing, do you think that Patty Jenkins would be on the table to direct any of these other films?
Yeah.
Such as
Batman? Absolutely.
Or do you think timing wise that would work?
I don't think
out?
It would work for timing. I think that they're going to try to just slap somebody on there as quickly as they can, just because I think they are trying to play catch up again, even with their
own
timeline.
But what's funny about this is the Batman has still never been officially announced. It has
it
not slated.
Out.
It's
That's
not
true.
Dated.
It literally could be coming out in 2025. Like there has been no date. No date attached.
I do agree with you guys, though. I do think Affleck is going to be in this film because he made a statement so affirmative.
Yeah,
and after the other one, I would be shocked if he walked away from it at this point. I really, really would be. So while we were early predicting his walking off as a director, I do feel confident, and I think everybody else here feels the same way, that he's going to probably stick around.
He's also a smart businessman. He knows that that's going to be, reputation-wise, something that would hurt him in the long run if he was so affirmative, I'm going to act in this, and then was just like, psych.
But the one thing that he could say about BVS, like, if anybody asked, was that he just did his job. He showed up, he did a great job acting in it, and he didn't have to say, hey, I didn't make this crappy movie.
I take full responsibility.
So that goes back to the fact, does he not believe in this movie, and does he not want to have his name all over it, and is that why he's calling in other people to help write? Like, hey, I'm not the only writer on this. I'm definitely not directing it, and I'm just going to show up and do a good job with my character.
We don't want that. I mean, the other names.
I don't think that's happening.
Know.
I'm just throwing that
what's
out.
That,
there.
What's that? What were you saying?
The other names being tossed around. We already mentioned a few of them: Matt Reeves, Gavin O'Connor, Denis Villeneuve.
Denis Villeneuve. He's doing
okay,
Dune now, so he's off
favorite,
the list.
Matt Ross and George Miller.
He would be my favorite.
He's officially on
the
Dune.
The only thing is, with him, is he's such a control freak. Is he's like, I will do everything, or I won't do it at all.
And he's
so
crazy
I feel
busy.
Like,
he's got Blade Runner, he's got the Dune reboot coming up.
I feel like if it's with a team, and he would want full creative control, and I feel like Ben Affleck would be like, nah.
A lot of these auteur directors don't want to do this. Like, don't ever forget, Chris Nolan was an auteur director who had his own Batman universe to play in because he had a very specific take. You know, obviously, Warner Brothers wanted to make a Batman film, and I'm sure they started meeting with directors, but Nolan had a very specific take. This is not the same thing. This is like, you gotta come and play in this already established world. Here are all these, you know, and if it doesn't work out, it could damage your career or potentially not.
But my money is on Gavin O'Connor. That's a great choice.
That would get me excited.
This is one thing, though. People said George Miller. I'm like, why is Tim Miller not being thrown in? Because he did, in my opinion, in Arkham Knight, the best scenes that were directed.
Oh my god, I hope the rumors of Tim Miller doing a Terminator, like, how much better would this be than I couldn't agree more. That would be
I'm like, why is that?
Did Elena Jordan just say the most exciting choice right there? Like, who would literally be more exciting than that? Honestly,
I would lose my mind. I think it would be great. I think it would be almost even better than Fincher.
He's totally out there right now,
and I think he would be able to take it. Really put a good spin on it that is well marketable too, because that's a big thing.
Tell Tim Miller you don't want to see another Terminator movie. Does anybody want to see another Terminator movie?
I'll be honest, I clocked out after...
Yeah.
There was two good ones. Yeah. Literally two. Yeah. Every other one not good.
Right.
How many have there been?
Dude, I don't know.
It's like five. Salvation, Rise of the Machines, Genesis.
Yeah. Rise of the Machines. Wasn't that a Transformers movie, too?
Was it Rise of the Machines?
Yeah, it was. That was Transformers, yeah.
Okay, good.
No, was it the third one?
I have heard some people saying Michael Bay for this one, too. And I'm like, please don't. Please don't.
That would not get me excited.
I think you don't even mention it. Like, you have a Snyder.
Yeah, but also the problem.
Even from a visual style, I way prefer a Snyder for comic book visuals than Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Do you think Zack Snyder is a potential call here?
Yes, I think he's on the potential.
I just don't understand why
nobody knows how to make
Tim
the
Miller.
World move.
Well, sure.
He doesn't have my vote, but I think he's on board.
The thing that upsets me about Snyder is how he thinks visual first, but like, listen, he's also a human. He's also listened to 5 years of criticism of his nuts getting kicked in at this point. Mm-hmm. And few people can really handle these big films like this. Like, listen, there's a lot of truth to the Affleck statement. It is a lot to do to act as Batman and direct it and Shepard. Yeah. Like, these are huge projects. These are not like even Live by Night, which is like huge by small film standards, but still his films have always been smaller. He's never done a spectacle film before.
Everyone raved beforehand. Everyone's like, oh no, not Affleck as Batman. Then everyone raved about him. He didn't direct BVS. All he had to do was focus on the character.
And by the way, it's not Batman. All he had to do. It's a lot to do.
Well,
yeah.
That's a lot, sure. Moving on, so Wonder Woman, this is some fun information. Let's get back on the positive train, everybody.
Okay. Yeah, let's go.
It looks like, Ewen? E-W-E-N. How do you pronounce it? Ewen.
I think it's Ewen, actually, but it's just a weird way to say you. It's an
E-W, who?
E-W-E-N is, I think it's Ewen, and I think it's...
Ewen Bremner.
Yeah. Like Ewan McGregor.
Like Ewan McGregor, but spelled in an odd way.
Yes.
He caught up with Digital Spy this week, and he says, in Wonder Woman, I play a character who's enlisted by her to help save the world as part of a small, unlikely band. He's a shell-shocked soldier who's been discharged from the war and is brought back to help on a secret mission. So, looks like she's putting together her own mini army that we're going to see.
Shell-shocked soldier, new band name called it.
Mm-hmm. This is more less important because of who he's specifically playing, but more important because it tells us a little bit about the plot of the movie.
And taking on Ares, that Greek god of war.
Definitely. I agree with you, Roxy. Like, now we know a huge element of the plot. Like, after her initial thing, she's going to put together her own little
team.
Elite squad.
Yeah.
Which is the picture.
You're talking about a Suicide Squad.
No, you only get one of those per episode. Oh. I don't think you get to do that.
Sorry, he said it.
But listen, I did set him up for that, so you have to,
Yes.
I mean, it still
sounds
cool.
Does that excite you?
What?
Does it excite you that she's going to put together this elite team?
Listen, it could, but again, here's the fool me once thing again. Like, yeah, that sounds awesome. If done well. Like, the Dirty Dozen thing is how Suicide Squad was pitched to us. That really matters if we get just a little bit of these characters and we care about them, and then, like, their relationship, like, if it's just slapped together and you don't feel it for them, it could be bad. So
it's also how Justice League is being pitched to us. Yeah. We're putting together our team to go defeat somebody.
Right.
We're putting together Suicide Squad.
While I was kind of team optimism for Batman, a little more pessimistic for this one. Because I think part of what makes Wonder Woman... It is a little bit. Okay. Because I think part of what makes Wonder Woman such a great character is how she is the physical embodiment of standalone empowerment. Like, it's helping everyone, and she's still part of a team. But her, as a character, was emerged as a female...
Right, solo act. Yeah. Right.
So now adding in the team, I hope it doesn't water down some of that aspect, because I think that's really is what's going to hype up the movie the most and what's going to enhance the plot the most. But I hope that they don't throw in a team just to be like, here's some more characters.
I bet what will happen is that Chris Pine will convince her in some way, like, hey, you can't do this alone. She'll try to do it alone. She can't do it alone. He's like, hey, we need to put together a little bit of a team. So they do put together a team, and then I guarantee you when we get to Justice League, she's going to remember that. Like, she tried to do something alone. She can't do it alone.
It's
going to
be like LeBron. It's
gonna
be like
that.
It'll be
cool.
Like LeBron James and the rest of the Cavaliers. It's like, they're going to be nothing.
But listen,
you know,
we know that picture.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
We know the picture was a big part of BVS, right? So we're going to see that picture get taken, right?
Yes.
And maybe not everybody in that picture lips. You know, I think that's a possibility too. So if you set that up, that could be some powerful losses, and that could be, we don't even know if Chris Pine's character lives through the end of the film. Like, that's he might true. Make the ultimate sacrifice. So, you know, even though it is positive, it is still WB. There was potentially some grim darkness to this story, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
I just know that there have been situations that I feel like they have tried to, in Suicide Squad being an example, shove a bunch of characters in, mostly for marketing purposes, to be like, look how many more toys we can sell because we have these many more characters. And because they keep going back to, in their marketing plan, talking about toy sales and the sales of outside the things outside of the film, I don't want them to do that with this movie.
But these characters don't really look like that, though. These characters, to be fair, they don't look action figure-y.
But because they are so, and they're so anti-female characters with the toys and the marketing in general, just Hasbro and other, I mean, whether you want to admit it or not, it's true.
Well, it's not that they're anti, it's that they don't sell as well as what
they say that they don't sell as well, which it's also because there's not as many to sell.
I'm telling you, come June,
backs up your point a little bit,
we're going to see a lot of women wearing Wonder Woman and a lot of men wearing Wonder Woman.
Which makes me excited.
I'm
but I just want to see Wonder Woman dolls instead of a kit.
You guys,
some people
on,
in the chat room. Okay,
you have to remember that this was a project that Michelle McLaren was attached to, and Michelle McLaren straight up said, "I have creative differences with the studios, and I will not be doing this project anymore." And then Patty Jenkins came on to do it. Patty Jenkins, mm-hmm. who had been working in television and hadn't really done something massive in film since Monster. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
So no, that's great. I think that she was probably like, "Okay, I'm going to take lemons and make lemonade. Like, even if I don't love what they're doing." So maybe part of that was the fact that they were adding in too many characters. Maybe the script is a little strange, but that would back up what you're saying. I'm hoping that really it's kind of molded into one big team that we can have Wonder Woman at the helm of, but I'm unsure.
Want everything to drive a central dramatic question, because that's the big problem that I had with BVS, was it's like for every script, you pick one central dramatic question. What do we care about? Is that going to be answered at the end, by the end of Act 3? Don't throw in a bunch of questions so you're wondering what... Don't have a bunch of different plot points just to be like, look how much there is.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Adam, what was going on in the chat?
Some people were saying, the female with the face, I think, was saying could be like a daughter of Darkseid, like possible tying in Darkseid notes into Wonder Woman, which I hadn't really thought too much about. So that is interesting. But you know, we also do know that the script, and again, this is like one of the early films that went into production, so that's another reason to be nervous about it. And remember, Johnny, you knew a guy that like wrote the script for Wonder Woman, but then there was like six other names that wrote the script for
Jason
Wonder Woman.
Jukes, I remember.
Right. And then like, so we don't even I don't even know if we know now who actually wrote the thing. Like,
who knows? But, here's some cool news. Black Manta is now cast, everybody. It is Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
Let's get down about it.
Yeah, that's right. He's from The Get Down, and, I like this. He's not necessarily a household name, but he looks like a stud, and he looks like he'd be a great person for the role.
Was he Shaolin Fantastic in The Get Down?
I don't know.
I didn't watch, which is sad because I'm our team.
Chat roll, was he Shaolin Fantastic?
I don't know. But what I do know is that in general, the consensus on the show was that there were some plot points that were lacking, but that the actors were very talented. That's literally...
I liked it a lot.
Oh, you watched it?
I did. I watched the whole thing. I loved it. Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that, but it was super fun. It was really, really fun. And if this guy is Shaolin Fantastic, he's amazing. Like, the couple of leads on that show were just amazing. And I know the other lead was just cast in something major, either a TV show or movie, I can't remember, but it's not surprising. I'm trying to find it on IMDb.
And
right
it
now.
Looks like he can IMDb. Physically kind of match up with Momoa, which not many people can do. So that's, you know, if you're going to have an adversary, have someone who basically can...
Up. Really? He's big?
He looks big to me.
I can't see.
I don't know.
I really would like to see a picture of that. things are moving slow here. But, I mean, this is honestly, I hate to say it, but the DC film that I'm most looking forward to right now.
He plays Cadillac. He plays Cadillac in The Get Down.
Cadillac. Okay, so he's probably a big dude. He's probably, all right, like one of the enforcer guys. Okay.
Why do you say that you're bummed
Shameik
to say...
Moore with Shaolin Fantastic. Well, I'm bummed to say that because I wish it was Wonder Woman. I wish it was Justice League. Like, Justice League should be the film I'm most excited for.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm most excited for Aquaman right now, it just means that at this point, that's what I think is going to be the best movie.
And, if you had told me, like, 5 years ago, the DC movie you're going to be most excited about is Aquaman, I would have been like, you are so full of it.
Yeah,
it sounds weird to say, but listen,
look, I'm excited. You got to stay excited.
It's
going to
be awesome, though. I mean, it looks like it's going to be amazing. I love Jason Momoa.
It's the one that's had the least turmoil. Like, James Wan, on it. Momoa, on it. Like,
I think it's also one that didn't have as much, like, the bar wasn't set as high. People didn't have, there wasn't as much investment in it. Yeah. People were kind of like, especially with Entourage and everything, it's kind of just the mentality, especially the people, the executives who don't really know the comic book world, they go, oh, well, this is a character that was mocked. They can do something with it. We'll see if they can make it good, whatever. We'll give it to them. Versus Batman, where they're like, I know things that they don't necessarily, but just want to put their two cents in and mess things up.
Yeah, I agree.
Another possible casting might happen. Nicole Kidman joining Aquaman to play Arthur Curry's mother.
I gotta say, I love her so much. I just love her.
I think she's amazing.
And I know that that's not a unique thing. Many people love her, but I don't think she's ever been in something and she's made it worse. So
she's phenomenal in everything.
But didn't we have other theories on who was playing his mother? And didn't we have theories on which side of him the Atlantean was coming from?
Mike was saying that, because if Ocean Master Orm, who looks like a white dude, is his half-brother, then he was suggesting that maybe that he gets the Pacific Islander side of him, his mother would be more exotic-looking.
Which Nicole Kidman certainly is not.
So Nicole Kidman, Nicole Kidman could be like the Atlantean, like a wife of his father. I don't really know the royal history. I don't know if that's explained in Throne of Atlantis, actually, guys. Like, fill me in on that. Like, I know he's got one parent that's like a normal mortal and one Atlantean, and that's like he's half Atlantean.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting if she's like his land mother.
Land mother. One if
she
by that.
She doesn't have gills.
It would be his ocean mother, because then the dad could be Pacific Islander or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, the dad is probably mortal.
Too, because if we got to see Nicole Kidman in like some badass makeup
Isn't he like a fisherman or something, and he does something cool with the Atlantean, saves the Atlantean queen, and then she's like, all right, I'm going to get nice with you, and we're going to make a little Aqua Boy.
That'll be the prequel.
Peter Dew in the chat says she was supposed to play Wonder Woman's mother before, right? I don't remember hearing that.
I don't remember her being on the table, but a lot of people were on the table for those roles. Strong women.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, one movie we have go-to. Mm-hmm. You know, one film we have coming out very soon, Lego Batman, I think we can all agree. Kind of pumped for it.
I'm excited.
Seeing it Saturday.
Are you going to that on the... Dude, I want to go, but I don't know if I can do it. Damn it.
Yep. That's going cool. Saturday. Very excited.
That's awesome.
I will. And you know what? I'm going to know when to get there, because I got my awesome watch.
You're going to be on time.
I'm going to be on time, because my cell phone, it's the time function. I don't trust it. But I do trust my movement watch. Movement watches... pronounced very coolly, very few vowels used in that. MVMT watches. They're founded on the belief that you shouldn't break the bank to get a cool watch.
Okay.
They've got over 500,000 watches sold to customers in 160 plus countries around the world. I couldn't even name 40 countries. Movement Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest growing watch company. I personally got this black on black on their website. You could go. All the watches are between like $100, $130. I love this black on black thing because it goes with my car, my Batmobile, my badass Justice League Out for Justice shirt. But there's a lot of different designs there.
I have a gorgeous one that's like almost a mint green color, and I like that they name them all different street names. It's really cool.
Yeah, mine's like a shiny sterling silver-ish kind of gray deal. It's awesome.
I feel trendy when I wear it. Yeah. Matches all my other jewelry.
So their idea was actually like two college friends, and they bonded over the idea that they really had fashion sense for watches, which you gotta think, if you meet someone else that's really into the idea of watches, you probably are going to stick with them because you're not going to meet a lot of those.
Yeah.
And so they became really good friends, and then they started this company with the idea that, like, you know, just like a lot of these great businesses today, if you take out the middleman, I can sell you a great watch directly for starting anywhere from $95 to $130, and it would be comparable to like a watch that is $300, $400, $500 in the stores.
Right.
And they look fire. I mean, they're fierce-looking, great-looking watches.
And Valentine's Day is coming up, so it's a good time to get your man or your lady a watch.
Get
and not
your,
break
it's
the
a
bank.
Good time.
Definitely
good
get
time.
Your man
or
a watch.
Or if you're single, just get yourself a watch.
That's true.
Yeah. You've earned
treat
it.
Treat yourself.
And treat yourself to a very expensive dinner and a nice bottle of wine, and who cares? You don't need anybody.
Yeah, drink a bottle
okay.
of
your watch.
Drink
you're
a bottle of brandy. See what develops.
So, but you're saying, like, maybe I'd like even a little bit more incentive to get my movement watch. How about this? How about if I told you you get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns if you're dissatisfied for any reason, which why would you be, by going to movementwatches.com/DC Movie. Movement watches can also be a perfect gift for your Valentine. The watch has a really clean design. Like we said, they look amazing. This is the time to step up your watch game, people.
That's right.
You'd be surprised. Like, people don't notice if you're not wearing a watch, but they notice when you're wearing a nice watch. Trust me.
Yes.
Go to movementwatches.com/DC Movie. Get 15% off your movement watch. Join the movement.
And before we hit TV time, one more thing. So Chris McKay, obviously the director of Lego Batman, he was asked at a recent kind of a fan fest, I believe it was, what about him directing a live-action film? And he said, it's a long shot, but I'd like to be a part of it somehow. Thank you. And then they said, what if we start an online petition? He goes, oh, thanks, that's nice, but I'm going to go in and you know see those guys and pitch myself and go from there.
Best idea I heard all week.
Right.
I haven't even seen Lego Batman yet, but I'm like, that. I was just like, yeah, please, anything. Anything. That sounds great, actually.
Yeah. I also think it sounds good. And what kind of person would say no to that? Like, somebody says, would you like to do this? He's like, yeah. Yes, obviously. Yeah. Yes, very much so, sir. Ma'am. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? It's like the Russo brothers did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Right? I mean, like, so that just made me think of that. And, like, there's great talent to be mined because, listen, the thing that we're missing most in the DC film universe right now is great stories. Mm. That's it. That's really it. It's not about can we make them look good. It's not about do we have good actors or not. It's not about if is it a light tone or is it a dark tone. Tell a good story and people will love it. That's all.
Yep.
That's what they want.
There you go. Great stories. That's the base of every... everything, really.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. With that said, speaking of great stories, I think it's time for...
What? What time is it?
I don't know.
It's time for...
Get it. Thank you.
If you want to be super positive in the DC universe, turn on the CW.
Yes! So, again, we had another episode of Flash, of Arrow, Legends, Supergirl, Gotham, and Lucifer. Just missing Eye Zombie and Preacher in my heart.
Oh.
But really, really great stuff coming. I know we have a little news to talk about first, though. Johnny, if you wanted to hit us with the TV news before we get into the shows that came out this week.
First things first, Terry Hatcher is joining Supergirl.
Yes.
So, what do you think about that?
And a lot of people were talking about should she join as Lois Lane. I think it is said that she's joining as a villain.
A villain.
So it won't be happening.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know if I want to see that.
I gotta be honest, I think it's a smart move because so many people, it's like the CW and the Desperate Housewives fans are very similar demographics.
Mm-hmm.
People who might not be watching the show, who may have watched Desperate Housewives, may have more incentive to watch it and then catch on.
Yes, I absolutely want to see Terry Hatcher on the show. I was saying, I don't know if I necessarily wanted to see her as Lois Lane. I know there's a lot of people who are bummed that she's not coming back as Lois Lane and that she'll be coming back in a new capacity. I think that that is better. I think we should keep the memory in our minds, and I think that
they really? Because like, she would be like Lois Lane in her 50s, which would be an interesting choice.
Exactly, but that's what they're saying, that she could still be with Superman, and that love has no...
I know, I think that's a really deep way to think of it, because that's one thing we never really approach in the comics, is how he stays younger and she gets older.
Exactly.
I love that material, and like you can kind of see that more in like the 50s comics. They actually age Superman a lot more, and then less. Like, he would have gray in his hair, like... It was, you know, so that is interesting, but I do not see that happening on CW.
Probably not. I actually need to bounce, guys.
Okay.
So I'm going to let y'all handle the rest. Here is this Roxy Rocks.
Okay. All right, Johnny Quasto, tell them where you can find you.
Oh, just at Jay Quasto and go to jlocomedy.com. Got a bunch of cool shows coming up, different parts of the country and whatnot, so that's cool too. And love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Missing you already, Johnny. So, in other news, this musical crossover we've talked so much about, Flash and Supergirl are crossing over, and we just keep getting better and better news. Last week, I told you guys that Darren Criss was joining the show. Johnny, you're right in my shot. You got to duck underwards. And this week we're telling you that Rachel Bloom wrote a song for the Flash musical episode. If you don't know who that is, she's also a CW star coming from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh. I love her. I am like the biggest Rachel Bloom fan ever, and I'm losing it over this.
And I don't know that much about her. Want to tell us why we should be excited?
Because Rachel Bloom is a musical goddess. I honestly, for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, just because of the title, I was like, I don't know. Felt like this.
Right.
It's phenomenal. If you're not watching it, you definitely should. She is the perfect writer for blending. The tone of this will be perfect because it is her. Because she knows how to do very, very smart musical comedy that also is grounded in kind of a it's hard to describe. Some people, when they do musical stuff, they go a little too, like...
Sure.
She wrote the boob song, right? That her boobs.
Yes, the heavy boobs.
Heavy boobs.
Heavy boobs. She
That's
wrote.
All I know about her.
She wrote a lot. The UT.
Heavy boobs,
she has a lot.
Heavy boobs. What are they feeding you? No, wait, that's Smelly
no,
Cat from
that's
Friends.
Smelly Cat.
Just put in the word
boy.
Heavy boobs.
Oh, it's,
I do. She's.
I mean, heavy boobs are not in short supply on DC movie news today.
That is true.
Side issues.
Poor backs.
That's the whole song. It's hilarious.
Oh,
like
really?
She does a whole thing where she's like talking about how she explains a whole space nebula and a white dwarf, and she's like, and that's basically. Basically what my boobs are.
Right.
I'm
so
super excited
great.
For this
She's
episode.
Great.
I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be so much fun. It's like one of those things that you think about as just like a one-shot comic book that is not bound by anything else. It's going to be
right.
awesome.
Just take it for what it is. I know some people are like, why is this happening? Just let it happen. Just let it happen.
Yeah, I've heard some people like
this
not
is,
into it. It's
but the same thing
idea.
People, I'm going way old school here, people said the same thing with Buffy when they did a
yes.
musical episode, and it was
right.
one of the best episodes still
and
regarded.
And How I Met Your Mother.
And How I Met Your Mother. So if it's done well, and Rachel Bloom, who has an entire show that she got virtually unknown, who just said,
yes.
you know, look how good I am.
Yep.
And was able to get an entire show on the CW.
So if we weren't already in, now we're super, super duper in.
Yeah.
Something else that I'm pretty in on, Riddler on Gotham got his suit. I'm just in on that show in general. Third season has been great.
Well, he's getting it. It looks like it's gonna
be. Yeah, yes. We didn't see it in this winter finale, what we're calling it.
Yeah.
When is
they
it coming back?
They called it a winter finale, so I imagine that means it's gonna come back in March, which is really weird that it came back for literally
like
three episodes.
That was strange.
And then just went away again, but whatever. So... crazy stuff. Are we talking about the shows now?
Yeah, let's just go right into Gotham.
Okay, well, so crazy stuff happened. There was definitely a major death, you know, that I'm sure is a permanent death because there are always permanent deaths in comic books. No one ever comes back.
It's a joke. You're being facetious.
I'm totally being sarcastic. It's not like the page one rewrite.
Spoilers. This has spoilers.
Spoilers. Get out. You've been warned.
As the person who dies falls back. And the blood comes.
Yeah, blood everywhere.
And there's everywhere.
So the Penguin.
How are we coming
dead.
Back from this?
Yeah. He's dead.
He's dead. He's dead as dead could be, but he's clearly not dead. And who else is not dead is Bruce Wayne's other Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne's second Bruce Wayne
cleaned
is
up again.
Cleaned up.
So, did you like seeing Bruce Wayne kick ass this week?
Yeah, I loved seeing him with the blood, and all of a sudden with all the mirrors, and he's like, "Holy shit, am I becoming the Joker?" And like having that moment, and he's we get Batman's. I will not kill. I will not kill. And now, I don't know how many more years they can push this without him turning a little bit into Batman. Because, like, he's kind of becoming Batman.
They just gotta end the show with him leaving the country. I mean, that's what I think it is. Like, he doesn't leave the country before. Like, I'm okay with, at this point, you accept that it's an alternate world where all the villains are already there. They're not a result of Batman. They actually preceded Batman. And I like the idea that, like, they kind of did this in Batman Begins, which was so great. By the time you meet Bale abroad, right? He already can take on 10 men. And then they're like, we can teach you to engage 100.
Mm-hmm.
That's Batman. So I'm okay with the idea that, like, even as a 15-year-old kid, he can kick some ass because he's freaking Batman.
Yes.
And I think the show has to go to him leaving the country and getting serious.
Yes, I agree.
Taking his education seriously.
How did you feel that the Joker is doing? How do you feel like Monahan's doing?
He was great. I thought he was awesome. And it wasn't the Joker. It's the proto-Joker. It's still, they never said he's the Joker.
Jerome.
But they referenced the new 52 face ripping off the stuff.
Really cool.
He was beating the crap out of his face at the end, it looked horrific. It was like genuinely disturbing images on a Fox show.
It was, I completely agree. So Gotham is getting better and better, in my opinion. Moving on to our CW shows, we just talked a little bit about Flash. Let's go a little further into it. How are you feeling on Flash? I know that last week we felt like it was a little... lackluster. What do you think about this week's episode?
Okay. While I like the Iris and Wally going off and becoming their own little side team, mm-hmm. I do like that. I noticed that we're starting to, maybe this is unavoidable, we're starting to get similar themes and similar things happening in the same weeks on the same shows.
Yes.
Such as the Iris and Wally thing, you know, saying like, what, you know, you're the only one who has powers, you can't do any good, was exactly what was happening on Supergirl. Like, well, you're the only one, you have powers, you're the only one that could do any good, and like, it's the same thing. I'm like, I just watched this week.
But even if it isn't the same week, like, what happened with Supergirl and Livewire is exactly what happened with The Flash and with Captain Cold and Heatwave. Yeah. It's like, and I get it, we have similar themes, and I still love these shows, but because we have four of them, there just straight up isn't enough material for us not to have some crossovers.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the way it is. What about Supergirl?
Supergirl, I thought it was a pretty good episode with the Livewire stuff. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I hear you, that she comes back, but I thought that was really cool. I liked seeing, was it Mon-El and Guardian that went out together mm-hmm. and got their butts kicked?
Not on purpose, though.
Right, they showed up at the same time. Yeah.
Yes, but I'm loving the Mon-El stuff, and I love that we didn't beat around the bush, and she just says, do you like me? Do you like me? And finally he's like, yeah, I like you.
And she doesn't answer.
Yes.
But he's cool.
But she's got to like him. She's got to like him. So I'm all in on that, too. I love that relationship. Not as much as I love Sambers, though. I love Maggie and Alex together. I love them. Yeah, love them. They're great. Arrow's getting its groove back a little bit.
I like it. I'm enjoying Arrow, particularly, what is it, Mad Dog? Is that the that guy's name?
Wild Dog.
Wild Dog. Yeah, Wild Dog is fun. I had one continuity flaw. You know, as you know, I'm a big food guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at Wild Dog, I love the fact that they built in, this guy likes burgers with like 3 patties, 5 patties. He's consuming massive amounts of protein. Did you see this? Did you get myself.
That's how I eat.
So he's like, these guys are like disgusted with him in the booth. And he's
is he a big belly? Because we didn't even see
Big Belly. I don't think this was Big Belly, because this is when they were recruiting the new Black Canary. So I don't know if it was Big Belly, because I think that's more in Barry's town.
Because they didn't look like Big Belly burgers to me.
So there was no cheese. He said, I still got 3 patties and 3 slices of cheese to get through. And I was looking at that burger.
There was no cheese.
What if the cheese was actually attached to the bun?
Maybe you could give me one
and
slice
also,
was attached
to
the bun.
And there should
slices.
Be cheese on each patty.
Okay,
that's the way to do
later
it.
Later in the episode, he has a 5 patty. He's like, nothing but like a 5-way, which I took was kind of like a little shout out to In-N-Out, because In-N-Out in California can get 3x3, 5x5.
Mm-hmm,
one indicates patty, one indicates cheese. That burger had cheese between every patty.
Like it should be.
Of cheddar. So I'm like, who is doing continuity?
He
mentions the cheese on this burger. Disappointed in Arrow.
You know what? That means that somebody on set probably ate the prepped cheese.
Oh, you think so?
Right. People eat on set.
I think that, yeah. No.
We got Dinah. We got Dinah, though. We got a new Black Canary.
Yeah, they were just lucky enough. I like that the Jewish guy always comes in and drops some Jewish science, and he's like, it's Besheret. Which, like, is fate, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yes,
wife,
yes.
It's like, it's Besheret.
Yep.
So that they got away with the fact that, like, oh, here's a girl that also has a scream. You know, we're looking for a new Black Canary.
She has a cry.
Right. Like, they interview some people that have nothing to do with her. And then just like, well, how about this girl that has the exact same powers and does the exact same thing, but only slightly better, and she's,
And a brunette. So that's the difference. Yeah. But we can put her in a blonde wig. Like, oh.
It's Besheret. That makes it okay. It's because it uses Besheret.
Did you get a little Oliver romance Dinah action going on? Did you see some?
Oh, for sure.
Ooh.
Oh, for sure. And that's wide open and clear. Why wouldn't that happen?
Because then he can be with Black Canary.
Yes.
Wow. Interesting. That will be for the Felicity lovers. Oof. That would be tough. That would be a tough look.
It's going to be tougher.
Legends gets weirder and weirder.
But it's my favorite show.
Yeah, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Is it? Who's Heatwave? Is that Dominic Purcell?
Yes.
He's like the best on every show right
now. He's so good.
He's so in his groove of being this like curmudgeon, and it's so much fun.
Yes. I do miss him playing off of Wentworth Miller, though. I miss that the chemistry together.
But it makes him so lonely. That's what kind of makes him like even grumpier and grumpier is like... the way he helps, I don't know, I'm enjoying his, and he seems to be getting a little bit fatter too, and I kind of like that too. He's just like bigger and bigger. He's just a massive man.
He's huge.
Yeah.
Like not fat, just like a...
Just round. I mean, he's just enormous.
He's enormous. And then the last one this week, I will say, Lucifer gets better and better and better, but something major... I don't like to give spoilers on the show because I feel like people don't watch it yet, and like, I really think one day people are going to wake up and start watching this show. But something major happened in this show, and I will give this small spoiler. We actually went to hell this week.
Is this the first time ever you go to
hell? That was cool. We have seen and referenced, but we've never actually taken the journey there. And we went to hell, and we spent a good amount of time there. And it was really interesting the way that they did it. And I was creeped the F out. And I was like, get me out of hell. Dear God, put me back on Earth. Like, literally. So
get you the hell out.
Yeah, get me the hell
some
out.
Some people in the chat roll are insisting that it was, in fact, Big Billy Burger. There has also seemed to be a debate about which kind of cheeseburgers people like. I will say, go see the movie The Founder, which stars a former Batman and a future Vulture.
Oh. I hear it's really good.
I saw it this week by myself. Awesome movie.
Does that have to do with the cheeseburgers or with the...
Yeah. Oh, it has a lot to do with cheeseburgers.
Yeah, because it's the McDonald's.
Yeah, because people were like, Quarter Pounder, this, that. Yeah. But In-N-Out was around that day. But this all ties together. It brings the cheeseburger conversation to Big Belly, to Batman, to the Founder, and then you get back to
that's
DC
gonna make
movies.
Me too hungry. Got it. I have to wait until I can watch it at home with burgers.
Yeah, seriously, I need all the
burgers. Massive amounts just around me.
Theaters that you can have the burgers in. They usually just do dogs, though.
Disappointing. Yeah, no, those I picked the dog burgers are disappointing.
That was TV this week. So there's a lot going on, a lot to look forward to. I guess that we're not going to see Gotham for a little bit, but we got everything else to keep us refreshed.
Yeah,
so.
And I will say, I know in video game news, there is rumors of Warner Brothers Warner Brothers Games, let me get this right, said, like, save March 17th as a date for an announcement, and the lettering looked very Arkham Origins-y, so people are already debating about what this game is. You know you got Injustice 2 that's happening right now, which Black Canary, I think, was just announced as a playable character.
Which I'm losing it over.
And that excites me, and I will get Injustice, but I'm so bad at those games. Like, I hope there's another, like, story kind of game. I just finished Last of Us, and even Green Arrow could be an amazing game, or, you know, something like this. Cool. Something where you had almost like a Justice League, and, like, the missions were broken up, and then maybe they come together, but with a story and a narrative.
It'd be cool if they did something kind of Heavy Rain inspired, where you have, like, different options, and you can kind of, like, pick your own narrative where you have, like, the different options, and...
Well, that's kind of what, like, the Telltale games are, but those are not a lot of gameplay.
But, exactly. Yeah. Whereas, like, if they did something more Heavy Rain, where if you never played the game, they actually have the longer you take, the options start shaking, and you start, like, you have to move more quickly, which I think, you know, would work really well with this universe if they did kind of a similar inspired thing, but I just don't know if...
That's actually really brilliant, because, like, the hard thing with doing superheroes in a video game is like that, is that they have so many powers. Like, how do you have regular threats...
Right.
And obstacles to them throughout, like, a story
because
game.
For the DC universe, too, it's like, there's a lot of action, but there's also a lot of actual meat to it, and there's a lot of internal dialogue and things that you could incorporate into gameplay instead of just having it be voiceover.
Yeah.
Is you could have actual playable options where you make those conscious choices.
It would be interesting if because of your use of powers in a game, for example, you always had to make these decisions that if you use your powers and, like, there are too many innocent victims, like, you basically die. It's like you killed, eight innocent
people. You have a moral quandary as well
as physical. You can't just unload as Green Lantern in downtown.
Yeah, exactly. So it will do all of the different... dilemmas that you have as a superhero, all of the obstacles, physical, mental, emotional.
Very, 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 very exciting. Sky Patterson, right back at you, babe. You know it. From the top of the dome to the bottom of the keister.
So what you're doing right now is you're talking to our live chat, and anybody who wants to join us live know that we have moved to a new time slightly. So we will be going live 2:30 on Thursdays instead of 3 o'clock. That's Pacific Standard Time. That's every single Thursday. So if you want to join us live and you didn't even know we did that, we're on YouTube Live, Popcorn Talk Network. So
dentist
go there
time.
And check it out. Yeah, absolutely. 2:30. Ha! Ha!
Now you won't forget it.
Do I sound like a Joker?
2:30.
If you join us
Joker.
Party, you gotta have some jokes, right? Yeah. Some real good ones.
Yeah, exactly. Elena, will you tell everybody where they can keep up with you?
Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, ALANAJORDAN, and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And also, if you are a sci-fi fan, I am in a sci-fi radio drama with Lee Shackelford from Star Trek Next Generation. You can check that out on RelativityPodcast.com.
Sounds amazing. I'm gonna check that out.
That's pretty badass. Adam?
Check me out on FX, talking at the commercials of the movies with Sasha Pearl Raver on FX Movie Download, I think that's called. Very excited. Next week, I'm going to go interview the cast of Logan.
Nice.
In New York, and I'm gonna meet Hugh and Patrick and Boyd and James, and I'm going to see the movie. So I'm very excited about that. Like, what
are you
going to
fanboy out a little bit?
you know what? Yeah, but I'm going to keep it together, but, like,
it will be cool. There.
But here's the thing. I don't have to bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, normally, sometimes you have to feign enthusiasm, and this is just going to be like, I can't believe it. You know? And then I just saw the movie last night. But anyway, so check out that. Adam Gertler, Twitter, Instagram. Feel free to let me know how you really feel.
Talk to us about our feelings. Use us about
so I won't be here next week.
No.
Because of that, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But who will be back is Mike Kalinowski. But in the meantime, you can find him at Mike Kalinowski. And, of course, at Jake Quasto, who just got up and left us. Just straight up got up and left us.
It's Valentine's Day is flash. Coming up. He was just like another in stab in my heart.
We've got him all
another man just gets up and leaves me.
You're just sad. I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer. Until next Thursday, 2:30 p.m. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Awesome. You know what was really cool? Did you see that flash?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.